chapter 12, Luke 12, verse 40. Be you therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you know and you think not. So everything in the last few verses is then about watching, ready, be prepared. The only thing you're preparing is to see whether or not the garment is being spotted by the flesh. Now, in the next 2 days, we're going to study the 10 virgins, the 5 wise ones and the 5 unwise ones. But this thing about ready, there can't be anything right now more important than for you to be ready.
Be like watching for a tornado.
Hmm?
It's like watching for a tornado. You better be ready.
Well, in one sense, it's you creating the hurricane or the tornado by your emptiness. You alter your universe by your emptiness. But you can't be empty unless you've brought every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So let's go to 10, 2 Corinthians 10. Verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing, or actually it says high place, that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We have no way of knowing what that looks like until we've done it, because we can't conceive of what that means. And so if you've done it at least once, if you've brought every thought for a period of time into captivity to the obedience of Christ, you've cast down imaginations and all the high places, then comes this word ready. But you can't be ready unless you've done it at least once. Because you don't know, there's no way you can, there's nothing in our being that would give us an idea of what bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ is. So it's like, therein we're talking a different language. Because as long as you struggle with giving no thought to your life, then you can't possibly understand what bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. All that means, fundamentally, is trusting Christ, trusting God in Christ. For every aspect and every need, that there be no leaning on your own arm of understanding for anything. Well, it's easy to cast down these imaginations and bring into captivity every thought, because you've seen what it looks like. I've talked on this forever. It's one of the first things we studied back in the early or the mid-70s. And yet, it's like talking in a different language. Anybody have any response to all this?
Just like Esther coming to the point saying, if I die, I die. She's done with tiptoeing around who she is and saving her life. Because everything around you doesn't look like it's going to work out.
Yeah, and it's like we talked about last night, the idea that you are always a sweet savor unto God, both in them that are saved and them that perish. To the one a savor of death unto death, to the other a savor of life unto life. But you can't be that savor unless you're the surroundings, the people, know who you are. Do your surroundings, the people in your life know who you are? Or do you act differently? When you're with your father, or with your parents, or with your sister, or brother, aunts, uncles, nephews. I keep harping on this because it's so critical. Are you always a sweet savor unto God, both in them that are saved and in them that perish? Or does the world doesn't know you from a Gentile? They don't see any difference. I don't know. As you go into your world, make disciples. But you can't make disciples unless they know you're one.
Yeah.
Just touching anybody?
Well, you were looking directly at me when you said Father, and so that made me think about this.
Well, I didn't mean to. I was just scanning the room.
Oh, okay. Well, we had a big discussion about the world being on fire. Sometimes I don't. You know, oftentimes I am a different person. That's all I'm convicted by.
Let's go to Ezekiel 8 a minute.
Where?
Ezekiel chapter 8. We haven't been here for a while. Verse 7. They brought me to the door of the court. And when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. When he said unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. When I had digged in the wall, behold, a door. And he said unto me, Go in, and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping things and the abominable beast and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel. And in the midst of them stood Jazaniah, the son of Saphan, with every man his censer in his hand. And a thick cloud of incense went up. Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark, every man in the chambers of his imagery or his imagination? For they say, the Lord seeth us not, the Lord hath forsaken the earth. Now again, if things are going well with your abandonment of self, then this doesn't happen. It's only when things are going the way you don't think they should that you return to the chambers of your imagination.
You know, I realize this is about a zillion years too late, but I just realized that's exactly the leaven of the Sadducees.
Yeah, so there's no power of God to meet a need. Perceived need. You can't have a need, but you can have a perceived need. Have you seen that wall in your own mind? Have you seen all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed on that wall? There's nothing new under the sun. They're the same idols that they had, we have. Because unless you've seen that, then this sounds like a fairy tale, or at best, history lesson. So there can't be a readiness to revenge, or can't even be a readiness in general, because you don't think you're doing anything wrong. You're just doing the normal things that every other Gentile in the world does.
That scripture, I don't know the context of it, it says, having done all, you stand and you wait. Is that a part of this?
But you haven't done all until you've done this, until you've brought every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That's when you stand. Yeah. Just consider today. For a second. You think it's possible today for you to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ? That means every single thought that you have has to stand the test of truth. That it can't change with time, place, or circumstance. And I promise you, you can't have a thought. You can't have a thought that can stand against it is finished. You can't have a thought that can stand against you on all things. You can't stand. There's no thought that can stand against everything exists for your purpose.
Can you have a thought that aligns with truth?
If it stands the test of truth. But it certainly wouldn't be anything in time and space.
What would it be? What's a thought that would stand the test?
That would stand the test that Jesus is Lord. He's my life. He's my only life. He's my only self.
One thought would be it's finished.
But see what we do. We want to just continue on what we do and what we did, what we've always done. And we want God to come along and zap us. In fact, some people even have said that. Well, I'm just going to continue doing what I do.
Been zapped. You were zapped.
take every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ?
I don't think about that, but...
Well, this is the time to think about it. This is what it means to prepare for Passover.
So even that thought itself, I'm going to take every thought into captivity.
No, it should be as natural as breathing. It's positional.
Right, because you know who you are.
No, if you're in Him on the mercy seat, then you will take every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. If you're still poking around in the world, then you won't. Again, if you, this isn't a how-to. This isn't a what you should. It's a what is, if you've seen. If you haven't seen, then I might as well be speaking in Chechnyan or something. If you with impunity continue to live by cause and effect and taking thought for everything, then you don't. Somehow the sanctification thing has stopped. Instead of taking the pepper out of the salt shaker, you're adding more pepper. All right, we could go on this forever, but I beg of you, take this seriously. Unless you, because if you see as you said earlier, that it's the leaven of the Sadducees that causes you to take thought, then by definition, in preparation for Passover, this has to be one of the first things you do.
Yeah. Well, as always, you know, there's a quandary about what then do I do? And I know that the solution is somewhere wrapped up in if I have to lay out my clothes and I'm taking to Afghanistan in 3 weeks, then I can do that without, you know, giving it any importance. And if Gary has to measure a wall and calculate, you know, how much paint he's got to buy, he can do that without giving it any importance. And so I'm left with the situation where, you know, well, like that story goes, first the woman says to the rabbi, first they were saved, then they believed. You know, so maybe I'm waiting for this act again, or maybe I'm just, you know, going with what I've got, which is all I've got.
Well, again, if you do whatever it is, I don't care if it's getting your clothes laid out for Afghanistan or if it's measuring a wall, if you can understand that if you do that and you see that it's necessary for you, then to at least say, Father, I don't know what else to do but take thought for this. But if you do it in justification of doing it, then you're just how does a sheep get lost? One blade of grass at a time, one thought at a time.
Well, I hope I do it like I'm breathing. I don't seriously sit here and think, take in a breath, put the breath back out, take in a breath. You know, I hope I do what I do like that, which is the best I can come to of not taking any thought for what things I have to do. Or at least I think I have to do.
Well, again, all that we're doing here is trying to establish a predicate. And the predicate is to take no thought.
Yeah.
And if you do have to take thought, then take the lowest seat. But don't ever use some excuse of the world to justify yourself.
No, that goes to the in all your ways acknowledge Him and shall direct your path. So, you know, I'm always faced by my own inability and my own need for repentance. You know, when you're like this, but I'm also faced with. I try to acknowledge, you know, Him in my ways and see what happens.
Well, I mean, you can't make it. We've been delivered into a doctrine. And that doctrine has a whole bunch of, it isn't a few pet scriptures. It's a whole range that describes this new environment in which we've been delivered into in Christ. But you can't take any of this old environment with you. But yet, some of you try to. And all I'm asking, if you feel it's necessary to do something like that, then say, Father, I don't know what else to do. But if you say, well, I'm just going to continue doing this until God zaps me, then that's sin.
Yeah, well, I got that. Now, that's sloth. I mean, there's something that you understand that's more than I'm just going to wait and see, you know, if God feels like zapping me or not.
All right.
I like if we would say we're delivered into his life, we're not delivered into a doctrine.
Well, then you say that Paul's wrong then.
I just said what I said.
We have been delivered into a doctrine. And that doctrine fundamentally is the life of Christ without any hint of our own life, our own past, our own needs. And that the description of that life is called the doctrine into which we've been delivered.
Frankly, I like it the better, another way. We've been delivered into it. There is a doctrine that is
Christ. Well, but you can say all your life that you've been delivered into him, but if your life, if you're not living like it, it's just words.
But we can't perform those words.
It begins. If you can't perform it, then you say, Father, forgive me. I don't know what else to do. You never justify the position. That's it.
And you surrender. You do whatever you do. I, for my example, it's like I have men that work for me all week. They should get paid on Friday. If I don't get paid, they don't get paid. That puts me up against the wall. And from that position, I have no strength. I have no power, but I have faith. That's all I've got.
But if you have to use your mind to take care of that, then all I'm asking you to do is to say, Father, I don't know what else to do. Don't do it just because it's set before you.
I mean, that's basically what I'm saying. When you're up against the wall, you have nothing left but waiting and believing and trusting and confidence. And you can use those words too. Father, I don't know what else to do, so I wait. And that's all the same thing, I believe.
All right.
And is that not what Christ does?
No. Christ never again, after his baptism, used the power of his mind except for three things, three times.
I didn't talk about the power of his mind.
I mean, he never used his mind as Son of Man. Right.
Because that's all he could do.
But except for three times when he confessed it. But the other times, he lived in total 100% dependence, never leaning on his own arm of understanding for anything. Now, he was a carpenter before. So, obviously, the carpenter doesn't mean the same thing then. He was fundamentally a wood carver. But, and so he had to measure, and he did all that stuff until his baptism. At his baptism, he buries the mind of the Son of Man. The three times it tried to resurrect itself, as Son of Man, he spoke it. Father, my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Deliver me from this? No, for this hour came I into the world. Now that's true, exactly the same thing for every possible need that comes into your life. Father, deliver me from this. Father, let me lean on my own arm of understanding. No, for this moment of need I came into the world, that he may show his power. But we don't do that.
What do you mean we don't do that?
Well, if we're used to using our mind for everything, then we'll be just like he was before baptism.
But that's like saying nobody here does that.
It has nothing to do with anybody here. I'm talking about what he...
You're saying we don't do that, I assume. You're talking about we here. But
well, I mean, it's talking about the human race, and everybody calls himself a Christian. No, don't we have tried to sanctify the mind. And saying that our mind is necessary for us to use to survive in time and space. Right? Isn't that what everybody says here?
That's the problem, is that we have no way of figuring out how we're supposed to pack for a trip without using it. And you know, you always trying to figure out what does it mean to, you know, wait. I mean, it just.
Well, I used to use this example because we used to have this discussion all the time. And I want you to imagine, if we're walking down the street, and we're hungry, and we need something, and we see a bank. We start to walk across the street, and then we think, maybe I can get a loan, or maybe I can get some money from the people that are... But by the sign, by the Christ walking down the street, says, I'm hungry. And he says, Father, I'm hungry. And he continues walking in the same direction. And if his need for food wasn't met, then he died. So the idea of, and I'm not saying any of us do this, I'm saying this is the only role model we have is Jesus Christ. And he isn't even a role model, he's a life. But it's the critical issue is to tell now the difference between what you are doing still as Son of Man and what he did. That's the only way we can, to me, to see what this life is like. Now we in the ad, we'd be in the bank, we'd be begging for a loan, or we'd be begging for money, depending on how hungry we were, and then if we, you know, and we might as well be over here raping the bank president's daughter or something, because the idea was walking across the street to get to the bank. In other words, doing something to meet your own need that you perceive. Now you can perceive a need. And then say, Father, boom. And wait on that need being met with no effort on your part. Now that's one way of life. And if I understand the scriptures, that's the spiritual way of life. Now, do I do it all the time? No, but I promise you, when I see that I don't do it, I say, Father, forgive me. That's why we exhort one another daily, because otherwise we would be sure, I know I would, I'd be sure to be able to justify anything I did by the scriptures. And anything I did by my understanding of the subtleties of some. But after his baptism, it was a new world. And it was a world of faith and faith alone. And that's what I'm trying to get you to see. And see if that isn't the case in your life, if it isn't faith alone, it's not about, well, I have to do this because of that. Well, you're already over in the bank. I'm talking about being over here on this side of the street and say, I have a need. Father, an apparent need. But it's your business. If it's not met, I'll die. But we, you know, we created a situation, and then we're over here already. We're halfway across the street, and then we justify ourselves. We have to do this and this and this, because if we don't do that and this, well, then something else won't happen. But be, stay on the other side of the street. The other side of the street is a perceived need. Stay there. I don't know if that explains it, but...
No, it does. I mean, and the way it does is the whole, you know, when you have to justify or not. That's the point that makes the most sense to me. God has given me the ability to lay out my clothes and put them in my suitcase so I'm ready to go. And that's...
But that's but stop. Your mind has given you that ability, not God.
Well, if I don't justify it and if I'm not taking any life from it, putting clothes in a suitcase is nothing.
But the point is, you're already halfway across the street.
Well, yeah. See, this is, I mean, all I can do then is repent.
That's right.
And I'm probably going to go home and put some clothes in my suitcase.
Well, that's fine. But I'm asking you, if you have to do that, then don't do it with impunity, because then... You're just adding more pepper to the salt shaker.
Yeah. Well, that's, I mean, that, like I said, that's the part I understand. Don't justify it. Just
but don't get yourself in the middle of the street and then say, I've got to do something. There may be a totally different way of life that he has in mind for you that has nothing to do with anything you can conceive of. It certainly was true with me. But all I'm asking, if the scriptures are clear, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now, anything that we have to use our mind to do, well, God gave me the mind. That's the common. That's crap. Then they don't buy that your mind is the mortal enemy of God. All I'm saying and begging you is, instead of just doing it and figuring out a way to justify doing it, don't ever even get on that side of the street. You know, you start in the middle of the street when you say, oh, I have men working for me. Well, I got men working for me too, and women. But and I'm I'm not a role model by any means. But all I'm saying is, don't get in the street and then justify being in the street. Stay on the other side of the faith street. Then see what happens in terms of your repentance. That's the mystery. Amen?
Yeah.
Everybody see the difference?
I don't really see that difference. It's like don't ever hire the men.
That may be true. You don't have any idea what it looks like on this side of Faith Street. The life of faith and faith alone.
Are you saying I don't because I said that?
I'm not saying you. I'm talking about the corporate you.
You're answering a specific question. That doesn't line up. For me, you do.
Do you understand? There's a side of a street, let's just name that side of the street faith. It's living by faith alone.
Right.
With nothing else.
Right. Now, you may or may not hire men.
You may or may not hire men. You may lose your business. You may not have any money. You may, whatever.
Right.
But whatever it is over here, faith alone says, I die if he isn't there. People that depend on me for their salary, whatever happens. Paying mortgages, I lose my house. Paying anything, I lose.
Did you ever think about that?
Huh?
You ever think about that?
I did it.
I mean, now you can't pay your bills.
I can't pay my bills now.
You think about it?
Do I think about it?
Yeah.
I don't know what do you mean. Do I think about it?
Does it ever
I give it to God.
Your mind that hey, I got to pay a bill.
Well, of course.
Okay. And then you believe God. You trust.
Well, whatever the point is, look.
I mean, that's what we're talking about.
Well, I know. And it's cost me everything I have. I mean, all I'm saying is to please, there is a side of the street called faith and faith alone. And on that side of the street, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. If you have to leave that side of the street for any reason, no matter how you talk about it, I'm asking you to repent and say, take the lowest seat. Father, I don't know what else to do. That's all I'm asking you to do. I'm not asking you to justify it or not justify it. I'm saying if you are doing anything that is more other than faith, then I have then that's all I've ever said.
But whether you're rewarded with goods,
it has nothing to do with it.
Well, that's what happened with Esther. She had faith to the death, and she was delivered. People delivered. Period.
And Paul had faith. And he lost everything.
Right. So there's no forecasting what will come.
Of course
afterwards.
Not.
Right.
If there was, it wouldn't be faith.
Right. But it just,
you have no idea what's going to happen next. Your life may look totally and completely different than it does at this moment. In fact, the odds are pretty high it will.
But it can look just as different at the next moment if you say, God, I'm stuck. It's time to pack clothes. I'm going to pack clothes. Please forgive me. I'm going to get busy packing clothes.
Oh, don't, but forget the packing clothes. Whatever it is that you use your mind for.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's what I was saying. That's what I'm making it the easy thing. Because, I mean, no one really seriously worries about whether they get their clothes packed or not. I don't think. I mean, I always get somewhere and realize I only packed two pair of underwear or, you know.
When I travel all over the world, I never even carried a suitcase.
I know. I get there and I'll find something. You know, it's okay. It's not the end of the
world. I had an unlimited expense account at the time.
Yeah. Well, I never get somewhere and I haven't forgotten something. I just, it never happens.
All right, but please, all I'm, so this street thing is the only way I can conceive to describe this. There's a side of the street that's faith and faith alone. And whatsoever on that side of the street, you know that you know that you know that whoever is not of faith is sin. Without any kind of wiggle room. And if that isn't done, and what you perceive in your life as necessary to be done, then all I'm asking you to do is say, Father, I don't know what else to do. I see the possibility that maybe what I'm doing is not a faith.
Now, I don't think there's any way of getting to where you're saying, if you can't do that in-between step of saying, I don't know what else to do, forgive me.
Right, you have to. That's exactly it.
Is this another way of saying pick up your cross?
It's part of picking up your cross because you're never again using your mind for anything. You can't give it any perceived. You can't say, well, I'm doing this and that, and then faith coming. If you're using your mind, that's not faith. This is as radical as it gets. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. They're lying through their teeth. The Son of God was his only son, and they talk to him only three times verbally. It's not faith if he's talking to them all the time. They're lying through their teeth. They're putting God's name in their thoughts. Oh, God gave me this great idea. No, he didn't. All right, that's enough. Faith, remember, side of the street, call faith, and faith alone. Take a big time.